and welcome back to Sports Byline, coast to coast, border to border, around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Very happy Kobe Jones has been able to give us another segment. And Kobe, a lot has been made about the so-called lost generation that was supposed to make their mark in this World Cup, and only mixed discord from that failed Olympic squad. I mean, I would have thought that Breck Shea would be on the team. A year ago, I would have guaranteed you that Juan Agudelo would be on that team. Is this bad right now that the World Cup team's average age is over 27? I mean, are we in trouble here for the future?
No, I don't think we're in trouble for the future. I think this is still a great opportunity. What we have is, yeah, as players that are over 27, then I think there's a few that might be part of that lost generation. But then you have some young talent that's coming up that's going to be around for quite some time. And I think that's part of what Jurgen's looking at, is giving them some experience now. So at next World Cup in 4 years, if they're in their 20s or something, they'll be 24. You know, and that's like prime age for a World Cup.
Well, I think it. I know when Donovan was dropped, people would say, well, how can you take Julian Green? He's 18. He hasn't even played a first team game for Bayern. But for me, it would be more like why you take a Brad Davis. Julian Green, to me, that was a reward for pledging his allegiance to the United States. And I remember in 94, that first game at Stanford between Brazil and Cameroon, there was an 18-year-old Ronaldo. He never played a game, but they knew in 4 years, and as you saw in France 98, how important he was going to be. So for me, Julian Green had to be on that plane, right?
Yeah, Julian Green is the opportunity. That's giving experience to a player that you expect in the future could do something, you know, amazing for your squad. You want to give them that experience of being around a World Cup process, you know, with a variety of different teams, players, and just know what it's going through, so that next World Cup, he's ready to go. We've seen it, you know, around the world, like you said, Ronaldo, but also if you look at it, Landon Donovan is a perfect example of a young player being brought into the squad for experience, but Landon actually contributed during his first time there. So we'll have to wait and see what Jurgen does with Julian Green.
Kobe, your association with the Galaxy goes back to day one, and I want to ask you about Ruud Hoedt a little bit, because I remember when the Galaxy brought Beckham to the Oakland Coliseum and they played the Quakes. After the game, I got to ask Ruud Hoedt a question. Now, it was during the European Championships when Marco van Basten was head coach of Holland, and the Dutch press was all over him. And I asked, I thought, was a rather innocuous question about how do you think van Basten's doing with all the heat back home. And Ruud Hoedt gave like a 6-minute long answer about how the press in Holland wants you to fail. But when you coached with him, I always thought, I mean, especially going back to the 88 final against the Soviet Union, that great Dutch team, not so much the Cruyff total football team, but a great Dutch team. It was really Hoedt's time at Sampdoria at the end of his career, before he went to Chelsea, but they moved him to sweeper, what he was able to do as an influential player on that team. So I know it's a long question, but as a player, as a coach, as a guy, what did you learn being around a legend like that?
No, I learned quite a bit, you know, and obviously we can look at his time at the LA Galaxy, and it wasn't the best. It's always difficult for, I think, players, coaches from other countries to come to the U.S. because it's such a different game than what they're used to in Europe. As a man, I learned a lot from Ruud on how to live, I think, a little bit the life of soccer post-playing. You know, that was very important for me because that's right when I went into that process. And he gave me the opportunity to do something that kept me involved in the game a bit. So it wasn't just a quick separation, you know. So that I learned quite a bit there from him. Also from the playing aspect, I could only imagine of what he was like as a player, seeing what he was like as a coach, the confidence that he had in everything that he did. Was great to see, and see that that's what you needed as a coach as well, to try to, like he kind of hinted at, you're always going to have your critics, but you have to do what you think is right, you know, and live and die by that.
Speaking of Kobe Jones, number 13, retired by the Galaxy. Let's talk about the Galaxy a little bit. Robbie Keane, I'll always be thankful for the 100 goals he scored for Tottenham, which is my favorite team, but we heard yesterday he was upset playing a game under a hot Chicago sun. And it's interesting because I remember in 94 that the Irish especially complained about the stifling heat. I believe it was in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl that they didn't like that as well. And he was very emphatic about how ridiculous it was. Use some Irish words, let's say. But yeah. When it comes down to it, that's just something that a professional athlete has to deal with, don't they? I mean, they're going to put the times when they feel they can get the biggest crowd. Or what's it like when you? What was it like for you when you heard his comments?
Well, first off, I'm going to have to, you know, it's a little hard for me to concentrate. I'm getting constant music this whole segment. I don't know what the situation is. But with Robbie Keane and what he's going through, I think is a little bit of what every player that comes from Europe has to deal with, and they don't realize this is part of the toughness of this league. It's the weather. We're playing during summer. You know, it's hot. You know, especially if you're going to like a Houston, you're Dallas, you know, it's always going to be at extreme temperatures. You know, the humidity is always going to be up there, and you're going to have to be able to deal with it. Now, the issue for him that I can totally agree with is maybe if you don't have to, why should you? And it seems like the game yesterday was a situation where it didn't need to be a day game. So why put the players through 90-degree heat, 90-degree humidity, even put the fans through that, you know, be it at the stadium or on TV, because you don't get the best game. You get a slower game where it's difficult for the players to play, and that's not really what a lot of people want to see. So hopefully MLS, you know, takes a look at that and does some restructuring of the scheduling and tries to make it, as many night games as possible, especially during high summer.
All right, and Kobe, when I'm looking at Klinsmann and the style and whether he wants to just play two guys up front, if he wants to do the hexagon or the diamond, I mean, you went from Gansler to Bora to Samson to Arena, I mean, and then Bradley and now Klinsy. What style do you think he's going to go with, and do you think it's dangerous to screw around with it so late in the process?
Well, the one thing we have to remember is that Jurgen Klinsmann came in, you know, late in the game. So for him, he has to try to mix it up as much as possible right now because he didn't have a lot of time with all these players. So he's trying to test everything out right now. I think he's going to play a standard back four, but I think he's going to go between a diamond and a flat four and try to get as much offensive power as he can with this team. I mean, you're going to see Michael Bradley, who we all think of as a holding midfielder, be more of an attacking midfielder, which I think is a big, big change. I'd expect him to play with one striker underneath to try to help defensively, but whoever that's going to be is going to have to be very mobile and fit to be able offensively to get forward and give support to, if it's, you know, most likely Jozy Altidore up top.
Speaking with Kobe Jones, just a couple more questions for Kobe, World Cup veteran, Copa America veteran as well. Chris Wondolowski, a kid from the East Bay, like myself, I have a lot of affinity for the guy. I live vicariously through him as a Earthquakes player. A guy, sometimes people kind of wonder, well, where do we put him? He's not really big enough as a number nine. Is he fast enough as a wing? But the guy has a nose for goal. He's a classic fox in the box, and I predict he's going to do something in this World Cup if he sees the pitch. With Dempsey healthy, maybe he won't. But what's your take on Wando, Kobe?
Well, I think Wando, you know, this being his first World Cup, I don't expect him to start too many games. I think what you'll see from Wondolowski is someone that comes off the bench maybe in the 60th minute or so if the team needs to get a goal, mm-hmm. Which, considering who the U.S. is playing, it may be likely that he gets on a lot more often than not. And he's that striker that he has that ability that you cannot coach. He knows how to be dangerous in the box. He's always moving. He's giving that, when coaches talk about strikers inside the box, they talk about just making that 2 or 3 yard movement to get yourself free. Well, Wondolowski does that naturally. And that's just something that you can't coach, and he's able to be clinical inside the box. And if things work out where he's in there and he is able to do something as you believe he will, and I think he will too, you know, the sky's the limit on what could happen because every team wants a striker like that.
And finally, Kobe, and I brought this up with you when you were on the show a couple of years ago. For some reason, you encapsulate everything the Mexican national team hates about America, and they would. I remember Rafa Marquez and others, especially in South Korea, when it was 2-0 and it looked like they were going down to El Norte. They they basically decided they wanted to kick you into row Z. Do you still get maybe members of the of L Tree saying, "Hey Kobe, how you doing? We still hate you."
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Not so much from the L Tree. You know, a lot of my friends are on that team. You know, from the L Tree. You know, obviously not Marquez and a couple others, but you know, I'm still very friendly with quite a few of those. Few of those guys. I just saw Luis Hernandez just a little while ago. But I actually get that type of response from the Mexican fans, you know, from the public. You know, they're the ones that come up to me and go, "Hey man, we loved you. You always also gave all your effort and, you know, playing against Mexico, but, you know, we still hate what you did against us," you know. that's the type of response I get, you know, and I love it. It's a love-hate relationship with the Mexican, you know, Mexican fans, Mexican people, even the Mexican team to a degree. But, you know, it's all good in the end. It's sport, and, you know, that's what it's all about. It's about making those memories that they will never forget, and I won't forget either.
And speaking with Kobe Jones, he's had a great soccer career, 3 World Cups, played in Brazil, played in England, and, of course, one of the icons of Major League Soccer, still going strong today in that league as an executive, as coach. And, Kobe, can't thank you enough for 2 segments today. Enjoy the World Cup, and we can't wait to have you on again in the future.
Thank you very much.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We will take a quick break and get on back on Byline.